Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
I'm starting my alarm clock because I don't want to be too long tonight. And I've been using this while I've been preaching out, and it has a big honk on it. So if you hear this big honking sound, it's my phone telling me it's done, okay? This is called senior technology. So how you going, Rock? You good, huh? Wow. Okay, so how many of you do not know who I am? No, it's okay. No, it's all right. My husband doesn't know who I am. He's been wondering that since he married me. Okay, my name is Deborah Cobray. I'm known as Deb or Pastor Deb or Nana or Mom or... That was one of my sons, Luke, and I have four kids and 12 grandkids and one great-granddaughter, so we are... I'm now Nana the Great, so show a little respect here. But I'll be 67 this year, Jim will be 72, so we're the really old ones now, and that's why we have stepped back and turned the rock over to this next generation. And as we've done that, I've noticed that there's been some changes, and good changes, and I believe that God wants to do a whole lot more, and I believe he wants to pack this place out and fill it up once again, and that we don't have empty seats, but we have momentum, and we have a church that's filled with passionate, fire-breathing, fire-believing, faith-filled believers. And... so I thought tonight what I would like to do is I would like to give you a little bit of history about who we are, the DNA of this place, and why we are who we are, and this next generation, because it says in Psalm 145, I believe it's verse 4, that one generation shall praise his name to the next. And my job as a mother, as a pastor, as a grandmother, as a great-grandmother, my job before the Lord is to tell the next generation of his goodness, of his greatness, and to be a witness and a testimony of who God is. And we are to pass it on because I won't be here when most of you are still here. I'll be in heaven. So our job is to bring legacy and inheritance to you and to equip you so that you can do the work of the ministry and do the will of God and do what God wants to do in the Inland Empire. And I believe far beyond the Inland Empire. This place was changed. The name was changed in the middle of a preaching session by my husband back in, I believe it was 1997 or somewhere in there. It was the Rock Christian Center, and he was in the middle of a message. We were packed out. We had four services in the other building. And God said, I want you to change the name of this church to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. For we are going into the world, into the highways and byways. So there's a lot of history here. There's a lot of faith here. There's a lot of things that have happened in the past. And it's not so that we can go back and look at glory days or things like that, because I believe the best is yet to come. And the best days are ahead, not behind. And if we've done our job right, then our job is to build a platform for our children and our children's children to be able to step onto that and go further, faster. That's the whole point of this, is that we don't want to rebuild foundations. We want to build up from the foundation so that we can build the kingdom of God. So this is not, let's look at what we've done and aren't we wonderful. This is none of that, because Jim and I know exactly who we are and where we came from. And we know we were two screw-ups that by the grace of God he took and said, I can use you if you'll believe me. And so there's some things that I think that only parents and grandparents can pass on. Would you agree with that? How many of you have grandparents that you know? Really, that's all? You didn't have grandparents? How many of you had grandparents that you knew? Maybe they're not alive now, but you knew them. There we go. Okay. How many of you received something from your grandparents? They were special to you. There was something that they gave you and they imparted to you. Yeah, that's the plan. I mean, we're not supposed to just all be young and we're not supposed to all be old. We're actually supposed to be generations. That's the plan of God. And we're not all supposed to be white or black or yellow or red. We are supposed to be multicolored because God made us multicolored, didn't he? He only made two, male and female, but he gave us all kinds of exterior landscaping and paint, didn't he? Right, he's very creative. He gave us cultures and tribes. And so the amazing creativity of our king is such that he wants our church to look like our city. It doesn't need to be all one color. It needs to be multicolored. It doesn't need to be all one generation. It needs to be multi-generational. Now that always poses problems because generations have different tastes. We have different tastes in food, music, things like that. I mean, I'm learning how to use my, whatever it is, you know, that thing that's going to sound like a horn in 30 minutes. And my grandchildren know how to program, you know, the VCR or whatever that thing is now, the Apple TV or whatever it is. I mean, the Instagram, it's a different world. We're living in a different world than we lived in when we started this church in 1988. It's a completely different place. So I wanted to just go back because we have out there seven pillars, and those pillars came from a scripture which was started in Proverbs chapter 9, and in verse 2 it says, wisdom has built her house, she's hewn out her seven pillars. And these pillars were foundations. They held up the house. The house was built on the foundation. I don't know if you have that scripture of Matthew chapter 16. Do you have it? Just shake your heads up and down if you have it. If you don't have it, I don't know if I sent it or not. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. We're looking at Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He said, and upon this rock of revelation of who I am all God and I am all man. I am God made flesh. I'm the exact replica, the brightness of his being. I am God in the flesh. That's why he was crucified, is because he said he was God. Jesus Christ is all man, but he's also all God. He's the Word made flesh. Are you with me? And he said, upon this rock of revelation, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That was our foundation. When Jim and I came down to the valley from Lake Arrowhead, we knew we were going to start a church here. At least I knew we did. Jim wasn't sure yet. He was still in Africa thinking he was going to be a missionary, which wasn't going to happen. But we knew that we were going to start a work here in San Bernardino. And people did not come to San Bernardino to start churches. This was a no-growth city in 1988. It is a negative growth city in 2017. And it is one of the hardest cities to have a church in, one of the toughest cities to do work in. It's got its challenges, and yet God called us here for purpose, on purpose. He knew that I was going to be a woman in ministry, and that's shocked a lot of people, that what right do women have to preach the gospel? And we've gone through 20 decades of that, you know, and we've written books about that, and people have talked to us about that for the 28 years that we've been here, almost 29. He knew that Jim was going to be a white man. Yes, there he is, white in all his glory. He knew that I was going to have blonde children. He knew all of these things, and he called us here for his purpose and his design, because God is not about color or gender or tribe or culture. He is about the heart, and he's about his purposes. And if God can use me, then God can certainly use anybody. I mean, he used Balaam's jackass to speak to Balaam, a wayward prophet, and keep Balaam from being killed. That's back in the Old Testament, by the way, if you want to check that out. So, Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God, and I thank you for the history that you've given us of faith in this house. And, Lord, I don't know what is going on in this house. I don't know what the enemy has designed against this house, but I know what you have spoken over this house. And I know that you have ordained that the Rock Church and World Outreach Center would be a world center, that it would have highways and byways and churches all over the world. I know that you've ordained things that come from this church that have changed the world already, and I know that you're just beginning. So I pray, Father, I pray for this church. I pray for this generation and the people sitting here and the people that will be listening to this grandmother, that God, what you began with Jim and I and the generation that worked with us, what you began with us would just be the foretaste of what you want to pour out on this generation and what you want to do in this valley and in this nation and in the world before you return. And I thank you, Father, for faith to rise in the heart of this people, that we will not be intimidated and we will not be a negative people and we will not be a grumbling and a complaining people, but we will be a people that will believe you and will step into the supernatural and begin to break through the barriers that are trying to stop what you want to do. And I ask it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And all the saints of God said amen. Now, I don't know about you, but you might need to shake yourself a little bit. God did not call you to live a life of defeat. And he did not call you to be depressed. And he did not call you to be unsuccessful and broke and disgusted and always needing something. God called you to stand up like a man and a woman and be who you're supposed to be, sons and daughters of God, and do the works of God in your generation. But it's going to take something. It's going to take faith. The just shall live by faith. This isn't just going to happen because you're nice and pretty, because you've got money or you don't have money, because you've got some kind of pedigree. It's going to happen because you believe God. Now, at the beginning of this thing, when we started this church, we started with 12 people and we were broken and we were a defeated people, brokenhearted, because we had just gone through a tremendous failure. We had been rejected and we had failed at pastoring. And Jim didn't want to pastor and I didn't either. And we wanted to go back into business and we wanted to make money. We still do. That still doesn't seem to be happening. But God had a plan for us and he had a plan for this place and he has a plan for you. And as goes the root, so goes the tree and so goes the fruit. And I want to see a church that begins to press in and press through. I want to see a church that begins to believe God and say, oh, hell no. Hell no. Hell, in the name of Jesus, you are not going to stop. You are not going to hinder. You're not going to do what you think you're going to do. But God is going to have his way in this house, in these families, in this church, with my people, with my city, with my church, with my nation, and with my family. And if you don't stand up and begin to fight, then guess what? He will run all over you. It's up to you, and it's up to me. So, the just shall live by faith. When we started this place, we didn't have anybody and we didn't have anything, and we had a basket in the back at the Econo Lodge Hotel because we rented a hotel room. It wasn't even a nice hotel. It's not a nice hotel now, but San Bernardino is not in the shape it is today that it was then. It was in better shape then than it is now. We still had Norton Air Force Base. We still had some semblance of prosperity. We weren't bankrupt yet. So what I see is an opportunity for God to show himself strong on this church's behalf. And when we started this church, Jim wouldn't take up an offering because he didn't want an offering. He was making money. We were building a house and we were back in construction. And we had a basket in the back, and I don't know if people took out of it more than they put in it. We don't know. We didn't care. Because it wasn't about money. It was about, God, you're going to have to prove to us that you want a church here. You're going to have to prove to us that you want this thing to go, because if you don't, we sure don't want to do this. We know what it's like not to be in your will. We know what it's like not to prosper. We know what it's like not to succeed. Has anybody ever failed here? You know, failure is not fun, is it? It's not fun to go backwards. It's much better to go forward. But failure teaches you more things than success if you don't quit. If you don't quit. And so here we were, not licking our wounds, but just testing the waters to see if God was going to do something. Because if he wasn't, we sure weren't. we were going to go find a church and join ourselves to it. Is that right, babe? That's right. You didn't have to talk to us twice about that. So we went on Sunday mornings and we had 12 people, then we had 36 people, then we had 66 people, and then we grew to 112, and then we had the children's ministry, which I was running, and we were in the hotel, and I think I lost a couple of kids, you know, during the services. We didn't know where they went. They were wandered off with people somewhere. That was back in 1988, so it wasn't as serious as it is now, so nobody sued us. We were just little, and we were just testing the waters of God, learning what God wanted us to do. And one of the things that we knew how to do, at least we thought we knew how to do, was believe God. We were men and women of faith. Jim took me to a faith convention on our honeymoon. We'd been married about 11 years, 9 years. Luke was 4. He was just going to start kindergarten. Jessica was 8. Miranda was in high school, and Kimberly didn't live with us yet. She was still living with her mom in Las Vegas, you know, probably doing meth or whatever else she was doing, and we didn't know about, thank God. That's a whole nother story for a whole nother time. But here we were, and we were believing God to see what he wanted to do. Now, I wanted to talk to you tonight about how this all started, and I wanted to talk about faith. And I'm going to tell you 3 things about faith tonight, the pathway of it. First of all, faith needs permission. Faith comes when the will of God is known. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And when faith comes, when you hear the gospel, faith comes and you get saved. That's how you get saved, is faith comes to your ear, you hear it in your heart, you believe it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, you believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, a son of the living God, and you turn your life over to him and you become a born again, rejoined back to God believer. That's how you get saved. Faith comes and you say yes to faith. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes when the will of God is known. Faith is a force. It comes to you. Catherine Coleman said, I don't know if you know who Catherine Coleman was, but she was an amazing woman back in the 50s and the 60s, signs, wonders, and miracles. She was famous. And she said, when people asked her about faith, she said her definition of faith was the things desired became the things received. Faith reaches into the invisible realm and takes that which is not seen and brings it into the corporeal visible world that you're living in, right? So God's economic system in our Kingdom of God class in the college, I teach that the system that God has, his kingdom system, is faith. The just is going to live by faith. You're never going to stop living by faith. You're going to have to learn how to live by faith. You don't need more faith. You've got all the faith you're ever going to need. You've been given the measure of faith according to Romans chapter 12. But your faith and my faith has to develop. So faith needs permission. And faith needs practice, it has to grow, and faith needs patience to succeed. So those 3 things have to accompany any kind of trial by faith or any kind of adventure of faith. First, you need permission. You need permission to believe. Faith, you have to know the will of God. You have to believe, because if you can't believe, you can't have faith. Is that not true? If you don't know if it's God's will for you, you're going to be double-minded wondering if this is the will of God. Right? Like we were. Jim didn't really have faith for the rock at the beginning. He wasn't sure if he was supposed to pastor. I had prayed up in Lake Arrowhead at our home, and we had a home overlooking the valley, and I had done my praying, and God had anointed me to pray. That was my job, to pray. And I knew we were going to pastor. I knew it was going to be called the Rock Church. I knew these things. So I had faith for it because I'd prayed it in and God had spoken to me. But Jim didn't know that yet. So when he knew and when he saw, then faith came, and then he could step into the leadership role and do what he was supposed to do, and then things started to evolve. Are you with me? So faith needs permission, faith must have practice to grow, and faith must have patience to succeed. Now Jesus said in Mark 11, and let's just look at that for just a quick second, Mark 11, 22 and 25, because I'm talking about our roots. Our roots are in faith. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. Jesus wrote that. I didn't write that. He says, have faith in God. Whosoever, I say to you, whatever whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So God says you can begin to believe. He had just cursed the fig tree. His disciples were asking him. It was show and tell time. How did you do that? And he says, have faith in God. He cursed that fig tree, and now he's using it as a show and tell example. And he's saying, just like I cursed this fig tree, now here's your life. You got a mountain in front of you. You can speak to that mountain, and you can tell that mountain to be removed and be cast into the sea. And if you have faith in your heart and you don't doubt, you'll have whatever you say. Then the next verse says, therefore, can I have it? Therefore, I say to you, this is Jesus talking. Now he's teaching us kingdom living. He came to show us the Father. He came to reconcile us back to the Father. And he came to restore us. He is showing us how we're supposed to be. Because as he is in this world, so are we. He's not just some strange aberration out there. He is living and breathing and revealing to us, show and tell through the entire time he's with us, what kingdom people are to be like and do. Why? Because he goes to the Father. And when we ask him for something and he hears us, we know that we have those things that we've asked for, and he does them for us. It's supernatural. If this faith of mine is not supernatural, I might as well close up, go home, and go watch another series on television trying to be entertained, because this is not about religion. This is not about good preaching. This is about the man Christ Jesus, who was the Word, the second person of the Godhead, God the Son, who became flesh, the last Adam. He went to that cross. He was crucified. He was raised from the dead. He was resurrected. He has the keys of death and hell. He ascended on high. He led captivity captive. He is coming again, and he has sent back his Spirit, and he's anointed us as his people. He's the head, we're the body. This is a supernatural faith. Period. And if it's not, then we are a nice religious community doing good works, and aren't we boring? Seriously. We can all go do something better than this. But this is not about men and women preaching and having eschatology and hermeneutics and great teaching and great messages and cool churches. This is about a group of people that will dare to believe God, that will dare to sacrifice, pick up their cross, follow him, and do what he says, and step into the adventure that he has waiting for each and every one of us. And that's what I want to talk about, because that's what Jim and I did, is we stepped into the adventure. He'd already had it laid out, but we had to step into it. Now, if we stepped into it 29 years ago, then what has he got for you to step into now today? He's got a whole lot more than what we've experienced. And I refuse to sit back and watch this church diminish and become an institution when God's called it to breathe fire, and God's called it to believe him, and he's called it to call down heaven into this generation and to see the signs and the wonders and the works of God. So, Grandma's having a bit of a lecture here. Faith needs permission. Faith must have practice to grow. And faith must have patience to succeed. Because not only do I need permission to believe, but now I'm going to have to practice this thing. I'm going to have to work it out every day. I'm going to have to flesh it out. I'm going to have to live it out. I'm going to have to learn how to use my faith in my everyday life. On planet Earth life, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. The good days, the bad days, the victorious days, the days that aren't so victorious, the days where everything's going great and I feel loved by God and man, and the days when I wonder if God has forgotten where I am and nobody likes me, not even my dog. So we are learning faith, Jim and I. We learned that we have to have permission. We learned that we had to hear the word and that God had to speak to us. He had to talk to us in the word. If the word said we could have it, we could have it. Sometimes God speaks in many ways, and I'm not going to teach on that tonight. But the main way that he speaks to you is through the word. He'll speak to you in this service right now. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to your spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you. He wants to get you grown up. He wants to cause you to become mature. He doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to succeed. That's his plan for you. He has no plan for your failure. The devil does, but he doesn't. So I have to have permission. I have to know that it's the will of God so I can believe God. Then I've got to go practice it, and then I've got to wait it out, because guess what? This thing's going to take a lifetime. This church took our lifetime to build it to here. It took our lifetime. Now it's going to take your lifetime and your lifetime and your lifetime to do the exploits of God to your generation and to run the race across this earth and across this world and to see the supernatural exploits of God working through your lives. It's going to take your lifetime, but you got to know it's the will of God, and you got to start working it out every day, believing God and not giving in to the enemy and the lies of the enemy, and agreeing with him, but agreeing with what God says. Whosoever say to this mountain, he didn't say whoever will just moan to this mountain, whoever complain to this mountain, whoever see what's wrong with this mountain, whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will obey you. Don't you know the enemy wants to divide and conquer? He wants you to see everything wrong, not what's right. But I submit to you, are you going to live what's wrong with you, or are you going to live with what's right with him? I'm going to say that again. Are you going to live with what's wrong with you, or your wife, or your husband, or your family, or your church, or your job? Or are you going to live with what's right with him and go after that in faith and begin to flesh it out and walk it out? If he says you can be healed, you can be healed. If he says your marriage can be restored, it can be restored. If he says your children can serve God, they can serve God. If he says your church can grow, it will grow, because we're living proof that it grew. So, having said that, we learned faith needed permission, faith had to have practice, and faith needed patience. What we didn't know, and what we had to learn, and are learning today, and we've certainly by no means arrived, Jim and I. I might have, he hasn't. I'm just messing with you. We haven't arrived. We'll never arrive until we get to heaven. But we press towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Faith needs permission to believe. Faith needs practice to grow. Faith needs patience to succeed. And faith needs love to work. Because faith works by love. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So my faith, this supernatural ability, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things we don't see. I hear from God. God says, you can have this. You got to believe it in. You got to go for it. Now you got to flesh it out. You got to practice it. You're going to have patience, but it will come. But you see, now the power that energizes that faith is agape love. Faith works through love. When I know I'm loved, and when I know God loves me, I have faith that he's good. Because Satan's trying to always separate us from that truth, isn't he? And when I begin to step into love and begin to love others as I am loved, now my faith is no longer self-serving, but it's God-serving. And faith now becomes directed towards kingdom purposes. Because Jesus said, why do you worry about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat? Don't you know that the Gentiles seek this? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. It's not that we can't believe God for things and ask him for things, because we can. But they're not the majority of things that we're to believe for. Those things will all be added. Those are the add-ons. Where you're going to live, what you're going to wear, how you're going to make it. Those are the add-ons. Jesus said, why are you worried about those things? Your Father knows what you need. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't you know, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Don't you know that the supernatural has been given unto you? Don't you know the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you? Don't you know the very power of heaven? Myself, I am your head. I want to absolutely move through you into this world. You see, there's far more here than what I need. This is about others. This is about the king's provision. This is about the king's plan. This is about what the king wants, because when I begin to step into spirit-led faith direction, it is impossible for it not to come to pass if I don't quit. I'm gonna prove it to you. I don't have time to go everywhere I wanna go, but I'm just gonna go to this. I'm gonna talk about pillar number one, the altar call. I'm not gonna go to where I was going to go to because I don't have time. But I want to talk about, so here, Jim and I, we got the basket in the back. It's growing. We're 66 people. Then I think we're 120 people. And God speaks to me because I'm praying. It was my job to pray. I knew I was supposed to pray. That was my assignment. Jim was the preacher. I was the prayer. And he says to me, ask Jim to give an altar call. And I said, okay, I'll ask him. So I did. I went to my husband and I said, honey, I've been praying for the rock and for what God's doing and what's happening here, and I believe God wants you to give an altar call. And Jim looked at me and he said, honey, I'm the only person that ever went to Africa and nobody got saved. He'd just gotten back from Nigeria. He said, listen, everybody gets saved in Africa. You give an altar call in Africa and you can just pull in the harvest. I gave an altar call and nobody got saved. He says, that's not for me. That's not what God wants me to do. I'm going to teach the word and make disciples. And I said, okay. And so I went back to God and I said, he won't listen to me. And it's amazing to me how God works and works out your steps. Now this is our story. This is your story. So we're building a house in Yucaipa, and it's 1988, and there's a little stationery store. It's at the very top of Yucaipa. It's not there anymore. It was going broke. It was selling everything. I was in there buying some invoices so I could write some bills for the construction. And as I'm in there, there's just this few little books. And there was this one little book. It was on sale. They were just closing out. They were closing the store, and it said, books for sale. And it was $3, and it said, Mrs. Cowman, Handfuls of Purpose. And I looked at it and I thought, is that a Christian book? It's only $3. I'll buy it. So I just bought it. Little book. Had no idea who she was. Had no idea what this was all about. I just bought the book. So I buy the book and I go home and Jim's building the house. I'm building the house with Jim. We're painting, we're sanding, we're working hard. He's preaching on Sundays. I'm doing the children's church. The church is growing. And I'm reading Mrs. Cowman's book. Mrs. Cowman and her husband were missionaries to Japan. She was born in 18 something or other and she died in 1955 or 1960, but she was in the 20s. They were missionaries in Japan. And she wrote these amazing books, and she had an amazing life with God. And she wrote this little devotional, and she started just telling this little story about a woman named Oxaw, who was Caleb's daughter. So I'm just reading this little story about Oxaw, Caleb's daughter, and that she needed some water, and she went to ask her dad for some water. And I'm reading it, and the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. And he says, now I want you to go read that story. So I did. Now remember, I asked him to give an altar call, and he wouldn't do it yet. And understandably so. He didn't want to throw cold water on what was growing. I don't blame him at all. Nobody was giving altar calls. No one in the church was giving altar calls in 1988. This was not done. So I go, because I take my Bible with me to prayer. When I go to prayer, I know that God speaks to me through the word. So I had my Bible with me. So I went to the story and I turned to, will you go there with me? To Judges. And Caleb, Judges chapter 1, Caleb needed to take a country. He needed to take a city. He says, whoever goes with me, I'll give you my daughter Oxaw. So somebody says, I'll go with you. Then Caleb said, whoever attacks Kirjath Sepher and takes it, to him I'll give my daughter Oxaw as wife. And Onthel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So he gave him his daughter Achsah as wife. Now it happened when she came to him that she urged him to ask her father for a field. Now, that's a little messed up, because if you look at another translation, he urged her to ask her father. So I'm not quite sure why it's worded that way. So you can check it out in other translations. And it says, and she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, so she's having the conversation with her dad. And she says to him, Caleb says, what do you want? And she says to him, give me a blessing. Since you've given me land in the south, give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. That was the story. Now, Mrs. Kalman had a story, and it was completely on some other subject. And God spoke to me as I'm reading this, and he says, now, I want you to understand, I've given you the land, but you need the water. Because in this land that you're in, this rocky soil, nothing's going to grow without water. Faith needs permission. Faith needs practice, and faith needs patience. The Holy Spirit's talking to me. He says, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. So I did. I had my Bible. I'm getting these impressions in my heart. It's not like I'm hearing an audible voice. There is no booming voice from heaven. There is a strong impression in my spirit that I'm to do this. So I turned there. And sometimes I've turned there and nothing's been there. But I just happened to turn there to see what God would say to me if I was hearing God. Faith needs permission. Are you with me? And this is what it said. Therefore, with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, I know God was talking to me because he had just talked to me about Achsah and the wells. And now he says, I want to give you wells. They're plural. I want to give you wells of salvation. And then he said to me, ask me for the wells. Ask me for the wells. You see, faith needs permission so that faith can practice, and in patience, faith can secure that which God wants to bring into the visible world from the invisible world. God wanted this altar call in this earth. God wanted this church to grow, but he needed me to do some praying to bring in his will so that the heart of the king could be turned and he could give Jim the altar call that he needed to give Jim so that it could begin to change my husband, change this church, and it's changed the world. I want you to know where these things came from, because there are stories behind every pillar. They didn't just happen. We just didn't decide, oh, see, I'm done. But I'm not done, because I'm not finished, and we've got more time. So if you're hoping I'm done, I'm not. I'm telling you a story. Are you okay with this? Now look, God needed me to pray. This isn't in my notes, but just go with me to Romans chapter 8. I want to show you something. This is where we live, guys. This is how things get done in the spirit realm. It's not like we're just falling off the seminary truck and we're just trying to figure out what God wants to do. We're actually trying to walk in the spirit here. We're knocking, we're seeking, we're asking. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God will see to it that he turns your heart into his plan if you are yielded. Roll your works upon the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Roll your works upon the Lord. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. When you begin to yield to him and say, I'm not sure what your will is, but this is what I think you're saying to me. This is what I believe, and this is what I'm believing for. For me, it was a word from God. It was a rhema from God. There was no doubt about it. This was a spoken word from God. And he said, I want you to ask me for the wells, and I want you to ask me with all your heart, because I want to give you the water. I want to give you the land. I want to give you the salvation. And I began to pray, and I began to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am asking you for the wells of salvation to come into the Rock Christian Center. I'm asking you that there would be wells at every altar of every service that we have. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus that people would begin to get saved, that Jim would begin to give altar calls, that you'd begin to show him how to win souls, because your word says he that wins souls is wise. And Lord, I can tell you and I can see that you want me to pray this. And as I begin to pray in that will of God, God began to deal with my husband, and he sat him down. I don't know how he did it. That's Jim's story. But Jim got the altar call, and Jim started giving it. And I was at the cause last week with him on Sunday. We were preaching. Both of us were doing a conference there, their Equip conference. Billy over here, 100 people in the first service, 66 in the second service. I give an altar call, nobody got saved. But Jim gives an altar call, 100 came down, and then 66. Listen, it's the will of God that people get saved. It's the will of God. It's the will of God in our churches that you bring people to church and that we invite them. We can't save them, but we can at least invite them to come meet the King, because he's the one that can save them to the uttermost. And they need to know that when they come to church, that if they bring somebody, that the Holy Spirit and the minister that's ministering here is going to be working together in conjunction. And how can they hear if they don't hear the preacher preach? It says in Romans chapter 10. We've got to send them. We've got to do this. Now, Jim had to. Faith needs permission. Faith needs practice. He had to now begin to train the church, because all of a sudden he started giving altar calls, and nobody got saved for a while. And then one would come. Of course, you know, there's only 66 people, and they were all saved, we thought. Then one would get saved. Then another would get saved. And then, lo and behold, people started bringing people that weren't saved. And they started getting saved. And then more people started getting saved. And then we outgrew the hotel, and we had to move into the green building. And he kept giving altar calls, and he's training the church the whole time. This is now 25 years ago. Training them. Listen, don't clap when I give altar calls. I'm fishing. You've heard him say that, right? He was training the congregation, working with the Holy Spirit in conjunction with the will of God, that this is good and pleasing to God, and that people lives are being changed as we give them the opportunity to meet Jesus Christ, who's the only one that can change lives. Now, like I said, no one was doing this. This was not being done. And suddenly word got out. The Rock's growing. We were growing like crazy. And people started coming over, and Jim started, he wrote a little book on the altar call, and he traveled, and it went all over the world, and now everybody's given altar calls, and it all's, you know, it's history now. And now it may seem like old hat to this place, you know? And I think that's what I wanted to say tonight is, Nana, is that, listen, there's history here. There's DNA here. There's God-given, God-spoken word here that said, ask me for the wells. I want, and they're plural. So every rock that will ever start or that comes out of us, they can have the wells. It's the will of God. It's plural. With joy shall you drink from the wells of salvation. It's God's plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He loves this world. Faith works by love. God doesn't want people in hell. He wants them saved. What a thought. What a thought. He actually loves us. He actually wants to be with us in our mess and our dirt and all of our grime and all of our foolishness. He likes us. And that's a whole nother pillar for a whole nother lesson. But I thought tonight, in this little story, maybe it would help you, because maybe you're not the one that has the great gift, but you're the one that can do the praying. Maybe you're not the one that's in front, but you're the one behind, like I was, and I am. But God gave me a God assignment, and Mrs. Kalman, she wrote that little story that tweaked my interest, that got me to that place in the Word of God where the Holy Spirit could speak to my heart. You see, God orders your steps. There's all kinds of ways He can talk to you. He can get you connected to somebody. He can show you something. He can get you reading something. He can take you somewhere. There's all kinds of ways God can lead you. You cannot put Him in a box, because when you have begun to desire His will for your life and you've begun to roll your works upon Him and you want His will, He's going to make sure that you hear what He wants so that you can pray it in and faith can go to work and you can say to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt, you'll have those things that you say, because now we're living history. We don't need faith for the altar call. We've seen it. But this generation needs faith for it. This generation needs faith for it. This generation. See, I had to learn how to love people. I found out I didn't care whether they went to hell or not. Oh, I did. But, I mean, it didn't bother me too much. I didn't have sleepless nights over it. You know, oh, yeah, hell's a real place, yeah. Well, they you know, maybe they wouldn't be happy in heaven. Yeah. See, God had to break my heart. He had to begin to show me, what are you doing, kid? I died for these people. I heard one pastor at this pastor's conference we were at this week, 2 weeks ago. He said, God spoke to him and said, who are you willing to sacrifice into hell for your comfort? Because you're not willing to go do what I asked you to do. See, body of Christ, we're not here to sit in these green chairs and to go home and watch TV, to do our jobs, to raise our families, and to live a normal life. You are ruined for the normal. You are not created for the normal. You're created for the extraordinary. You're created for the supernatural. The King lives on the inside of you. There are God-given assignments here that need to come forth. This generation, this is a sleeping generation at this point. The millennials at this point are a sleeping beauty. But boy, the King's going to start kissing them and watch them wake up and shake this planet with faith. But our job as grandmas and grandpas, the older people, is not to not like them. I don't get some of the stuff that they're doing. I have no idea about all the technology, but I like them. I think they're really smart. I don't get how they think, but that's okay, because they're all screwed up, as I was all screwed up. They just have to have their minds renewed in the Word of God, because once your mind gets renewed in the Word of God, then you get your mind on straight. Now you can see like God sees, and now you can function like God functions. So until that happens, of course they're going to be a little squirrely. We expect them to be that way. But we got to welcome them in, love them in, and care enough to start praying. So your assignment this week, faith, number one, must have permission to believe. You got to have the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Get permission from God. Search the Word. Listen. Ask Him. Tell Him, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I want. This is what I'm desiring. If it's not your desire, take it from me. If it isn't, God, show me. Show me how to pray, Holy Spirit, because He will give you a word. He'll give you a promise. He'll give you a rhema. He'll give you something to fall on, so that when you go before the King of Glory, you have legal document before Satan, and you can say, in the name of Jesus, it is written, and it will be done. Your job this week, start praying for Sunday. Start praying for Easter. Start asking God, who in your world, who in your life can you invite to church? Who is it that you are in that circle that you live in? Who is it that, man, they wouldn't come to church if hell froze over? But you know what? Have a little guts, would you please? Have a little courage. Come on, suck it up. All they can say is no. And just say, hey, it's Easter. Come on, come to church with me. Come to the sunrise. Come come to the Saturday, come to the two Sunday mornings, or come to Iglesia La Roca. Come with me. Let's just do something different. The worst thing they can say to you is no. And before you ask them, pray and ask God to soften their hearts, because it is the will of God that they be saved. And you are in their world for such a time as this. So, beloved, that's just a little story about one of the pillars, how it all started. Billy over here went all over. He's still operating. I hate to give an altar call when he's sitting in here. It's like, Lord, could he just come up here and give the altar call? Billy Cobray. I know. I call you Billy, though, as in Billy Graham. God has a plan for this place. Next generation, further, faster, stronger, more anointing, more favor, more grace. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. Are you in? Are you in? You believe it? Then I want you to pray this week.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.